Well, good morning. Good morning, Freedom Community Church. Good morning. Are you all awake out there? Did everybody have coffee? Tea? No coffee? Oh, man. Well, that's all right. Well, hey, it's Sunday. It's the best day of the week, right? And why is that? Because we get to come to church and worship the Lord together. Not that we can't worship the Lord during the week, but we get to do it all together today, right? And we get to see each other and have fellowship and all that. That's great. Yeah, we love it. Sunday's the best day of the week. If you're out there online watching, we're glad to have you here with us too. So welcome, welcome. And let's start our day with a time of worship as we come on in. Come on in, grab your coffee, and let's worship.
Separate, even if I ran away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. Strong and the water's deep, but I'm not alone here in these open seas. Your love never fails. The chasm is far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side. Your love never fails. Stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Your love never fails. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You stay the same through the ages. Your joy comes in the morning. And when the
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that your love never fails. Thank you that it never grows tired, that it never is exhausted, Lord, but that you love us always, and we're so grateful for that. Thank you, Jesus, for being the head of your church. Thank you for bringing us into your church, Lord, and giving us just that unity that we have because of you. We're here because of you, Jesus, and we love you. And we thank you, and we look forward to what you're going to do today in your church. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Let me grab my paper here. So as you might have noticed, Rob is not here again this week. He and Jeannie are still feeling a little bit under the weather. So please continue to hold them up and lift them up in your prayers. But I'm going to do a few of the announcements here, and hopefully I have them all. There's a long list here, so we're going to get through this. It's just some weekly reminders. The men, the Iron Men, they have a Bible study that's in person on Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 o'clock, and that is at Gene Wagner's house. If you've never been involved with that and you want to get involved with a Bible study with a bunch of God-fearing dudes who read the Bible, then that's your spot. So check into that. The women also are doing an online Bible study at this point. Their in-person gatherings have gone on summer break until August 4th, so you can still catch them online on Mondays, and that's on Facebook and MeWe. Does anybody use MeWe? Has anybody ever signed up for that? No? No, Facebook it is, I guess. So it's online, so until August 4th. So if you want to join in with them and do some Bible study with some ladies, then that's on Monday. I'm not sure what time that is. Anybody, let me take this here out. Does anybody know what time that happens on Monday? Mondays. Okay. We'll figure that out. All right. Sunday evenings, we have a home group that meets at Dennis and Lisa Griffith's house, but tonight that is canceled. Is that correct? That's correct. But other than that, Sundays, it's on, right? Just this week. Okay. Not canceled forever, just for tonight. And that's from 5:30 to 7:30 in Ridgefield. If you need some information on that and want to join with that fellowship, you can get some information out at the desk there. That's a great spot to go to, by the way. That desk out front there where Crystal usually sits and mans that she's got a lot of information, a lot more than I have, but that's your spot for all that. Sunday worship services, of course, we do at 10 o'clock here in person and on Facebook, 10 a.m. every Sunday. If you're so inclined and you're watching us online, please check in with us. Let us know that you're here and maybe how we can pray for you or connect with you, and that would be great. The sermon notes and weekly bulletin, that's, again, at the information table. Sign up out there, and you can have those sent to you. You probably saw some people come in, and they had some sheets in their hands. That's the weekly sermon notes. Those can get printed up ahead of time and wait for you here, and then that way you can follow along with the sermon. Not so much today because we have a guest speaker, but usually when Rob's here, he has those out early enough to where you can get those and follow along. And then continue to check in on the website for a calendar of events. That's on www.freedomcommunity.church. So you can always go to the website and see what's going on with us. Those are just our weekly reminders. That's the stuff that happens all the time. We have some special stuff going on as well that I want to mention. The first is July 20th. That's a Wednesday night, and we're going to have a men's barbecue night. And Greg Hunsinger is going to host that. And if you like meat and hanging out with other like-minded dudes, then definitely check that out. That's July 20th. July 25th to July 2nd. I think that's August 2nd, if I had to guess. That's the Mexico missions trip. And some of the best people to probably talk to about that would be Mark DeFrancisco or Miguel. Those guys are kind of heading up the missions effort down there at the orphanage in Mexico. And if you would like to donate to that financially, if you can't go and you want to help support that, you can certainly do that through prayerfully and also financially. If you want to write a check, write it to mission or put in the memo mission support, so that will go to the correct spot. August 18th to 20th, there will be, looks like a men's camp out. That sounds pretty awesome. I'd check that out. August 18th to 20th, men's Camp Hope. And Camp Hope, if you don't know where that is, it's not far away. It's just right up there by Louisville Park. Details will come soon, so we'll definitely talk about that a little bit more as the weeks go by. But that's all I have right now is the date. I don't have any other details on that for you. The last thing that I want to mention is September 23rd and 24th this year is a women's retreat. And I All I know here is that it says to stop by the information table. So again, stop by that information table. Crystal knows it all. She's got it all out there. So if you need some information, she's the one to see. All right, that all being said, one of the things that we do here, if you're new to us today or if you are out there watching online, we like to pray together as a church. And so what I'll do is I'll lead us in some certain specific areas, and then I'll give you a little bit of time and space to pray silently in your chair for those different areas. And then at the end, we'll close out and we'll keep going. But for right now, let's take some time and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for this gathering of your church, Lord, and know that it's so much more than just a building and a place that we get to come and gather, that it's a group of people, these people who have been called out of the world and into your church, Lord, into your kingdom. And we're grateful for that. We're grateful that we get to lift up our prayers to a God who loves us, who cares for us, who hears our prayers, Lord, and isn't indifferent to us, but wants our prayers and wants us to come and talk to him, Lord. And so we're grateful that you hear our prayers, each and every one. And it seems so amazing that we can pray and that you hear the billions of prayers offered constantly. And Lord, we pray that those prayers would rise as a sweet aroma to you, Lord, that it would be a sweet offering, and that those prayers would be sweet to your ears. Lord, we want to lift up some specific areas this morning as we pray together as a church. And one of those that we want to lift up to you today, Lord, is our nation and the leaders of our nation. And Lord, we don't do that so that we can declare one side better than the other side or that we have a preference politically. But Lord, we just want to see that we have godly leaders. And so we pray, Lord, for those leaders in our nation who know you, that they would continue to seek you, that they would continue to make decisions and govern based on your word and your leading in their life. And Lord, for those who don't know you, pray that you would soften their hearts, Lord, that you would draw them in, that you would give them a new heart for you, Lord, and a desire to serve you and to serve others through serving you. And so, Lord, we want to lift up our leaders of our nation, in the state, in our county, in our community, in our city, everywhere, Lord. We want to lift up leaders all up and down so that they would be godly followers, that they would seek you, Lord, that they would govern according to your principles. And so, Lord, as the leaders go, Lord, we know so goes the nation. And so, Lord, we want to lift up our leaders to you now. And Lord, we want to also lift up the peace of Jerusalem, your eternal and holy city, Lord, and know that it won't exist in its current form always, but there at some point will be a new Jerusalem. And so, Lord, we want to lift up the peace and pray for the peace of Jerusalem as you ask us to do, Lord, and know that there's a lot of hostility happening there. There's a lot of different factions that are at odds there, Lord. And so we want to pray for peace in that sense, Lord, that there would be a ceasing of hostilities, that there would be a stop to the loss of life, that there would be just peace and people coexisting harmoniously there. But Lord, more than that, we want to pray for the true peace of Jerusalem, for Jesus to return soon and to bring true peace to your city, Lord. And so we lift up Jerusalem to you now, Lord. And Lord, as we sit here in this place, all gathered together, worshiping freely, praising you, praying to you, hearing from your word, Lord. As we do all these things together, Lord, know that we have the freedom to do so, Lord. We know there are so many around the world who don't, who gather together in fear, wondering if somebody's going to kick their door in and drag them away, Lord. And that's something we've never had to deal with, at least not yet. And so, Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who are part of the persecuted church, Lord. We don't know what true persecution is in that sense, Lord. And Lord, we pray for those who do live under that that fear of being found out and being dragged away or imprisoned or maybe even killed for their faith, Lord. We pray that you would strengthen their faith, that you would give them boldness, Lord, that you would give them every reason all the more to rely on you, Lord. So we pray for the persecuted church and our brothers and sisters around the world that you would strengthen their faith, Lord, and keep them faithful. And last but not least, Lord, we want to take the time now to lift up in prayer someone who needs prayer, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would impress on our hearts who we should pray for. Maybe it's somebody in our lives who we know well that needs prayer. It might be somebody that you tell us to pray for that we have no idea. It might be somebody that cut us off in traffic on the way here. But Lord, we pray that you would lead us and direct us to pray in the way that glorifies you and that we would be able to pray for that person, whoever it is, Lord. And so wherever we're led, Lord, we want to pray now. There are so many things that we could pray about, so many people that we could pray for, Lord, and you tell us to pray without ceasing. And so, Lord, as we close this time that we have in prayer, Lord, we pray that conversation that we have with you would not end today or end now, but that it would continue throughout our day, throughout our week, all the time, Lord, as you speak to us, Lord, help us to remember to take the time, to carve out that time, like we did today, to pray. Because, Lord, we know that prayer matters and that prayer changes things, Lord. And so as a praying church, we want to continue that. We want to continue in prayer. We want to continue lifting up the persecuted church and our nation and all the people around us that we know or maybe that we don't know that you're leading us to pray for, Lord. We want to continue doing that forever, Lord. And because what better thing can we do than speak to the God who created us, the God who loves us, the God who wants us. Lord, we're grateful and we're thankful that we can pray and that we can do this together as a church. And we pray all these things together in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. I appreciate that. Now what we want to do is we want to take a little bit of time, stand up, shake your legs out a little bit. I know we haven't been sitting too long, but we want to greet each other and maybe just shake somebody's hand, maybe somebody you haven't seen in a while, maybe it's only been 7 days, maybe it's been longer than that. But let's stand up and we'll take like 3 or 4 minutes and let's just say hi and then we'll come back and do some worship. All right. Well, let's get back to a time of worship, and I know that everybody wants to hug and shake hands and all that fun stuff. You have to do that afterwards, I guess. I don't know. But let's go back into a time of worship. I wanna walk with you, Jesus. Feel your presence, know you're near. I wanna see you, Jesus. Move in power, cast out fear. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. Standing on your promises, I know your word is true. Bigger than what I see, it's you in exchange for me. Even the impossible can be reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I what is dead. And I want to cling to you, Jesus. I'm hanging on your every breath. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. Standing on your promises, I know your word is true. Bigger than what I see, in exchange for me, 'cause even the impossible is your reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. So let your kingdom come, and let your will so let your kingdom come, and let your will be done here on the earth, just like it is in heaven. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. Standing on your promises, I know your word is true. Bigger than what I see, it's you in exchange for me. 'Cause even the impossible is your reality. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. Standing on your promises, I know.
believe in the sun. I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power of his blood. Amen. Amen. I'm alive. I'm alive because he lives. Amen. Amen. Let my song go on and never ends because he I was dead in the grave. I was covered in sin and shame. I heard mercy call my name. He rolled the stone. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name of God. The only one could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up. Worthy of every song you could ever sing.
Thank you, Jesus, that you give us a firm foundation, a solid rock, Lord. A solid rock, and that when we stand on that solid rock, Lord, when the storms come of life, and they do come, that, Lord, we will not be moved, we will not be shaken, that the destruction of our house will not be great. As those who stand on that sinking sand, Lord, Lord, we're grateful for you. We love you. We thank you. We praise you for today and for every day that we get to worship you. And Lord, as we turn our hearts now towards your word, pray that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see, Lord, and hearts to understand so that we would be changed by your word, Lord. We praise you, we thank you, and we look forward to the rest of our time today with you. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, this morning we have a guest speaker, Pastor Bill Courtney is going to come up, and he said he would introduce himself, so I'm going to hold him to that. But come on up, Bill, and we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, it's a little bit hard to introduce somebody you don't know, so I took that weight off his shoulders. All right, well, it is a blessing for me to be here. I have known that that you guys, you know, were a church, were meeting for several different years, but first time here, obviously, this morning. And I'll tell you just a little bit about myself. My name's Bill Courtney, and I was actually raised over here in northeastern Oregon, the little town of Wallowa. Maybe some of you have been there, and spent the first 27 years of my life there. But I was saved when I was 21 and called to pastor, and I went to Alaska, spent 21 years in Alaska, and then in 2005, the opportunity came up to help Church on the Rock get started, so I became their founding pastor in 2005, and over the course of the years, raised up a young man, Brad Worry, and turned the reins over to him in about 2017, and so now I salute him. He's the boss, and I toe the line. So I always tell people you have to be careful how you treat people because it's all going to come around, you know. But actually, we're having a great time, and I'm loving, you know, just watching Brad grow in the Lord and take over the leadership of the church, and I'm there to support him any way I can. I'm there to, I take care of a lot of the counseling. Amude Vargas is with us this morning. We were actually sitting through the worship time at the first service at Church on the Rock this morning, and Amude says, "Do you want me to go with you?" And I said, "Absolutely." And so Amude came over with me this morning. Amude and I have been to Peru, to the Amazon Basin. I bet we've probably been 10 times together, Amude, with a mission work that we support and work with over there. So Amude and I have a long-standing relationship as brothers and as fellow ministers of the gospel. So welcome, Amude. I'm glad you're here with us this morning. And I didn't know your pastor, only at a distance, until what's it been now, four or five weeks ago. And we had a real tragedy there, kind of within our family. A young lady that was a part of the youth group there committed suicide. And so Dan, our youth pastor, knew Rob and got a hold of him. And Rob came over with, I think, one or two of your people here, and was a tremendous blessing to us through that time. I'll have to be totally transparent with you. I didn't know Rob, and I kind of had my doubts before he came over, but I was pleasantly surprised. He did a phenomenal job, so much so that myself and several of us would like to go through the chaplain training that he does. And I've got to kind of clear my schedule before that's going to happen, but we're going to do that. So, yeah, and I have, you know, I just kind of connected with Rob, have, I believe, a growing friendship with him. And so when he called, I was eager to come over and help out as best I could. So let's get into the word this morning. It's going to be very simple this morning. I've had 2 days' notice on this, so bear with me, okay? And but I prayed about it, and I felt the Lord immediately impressed me to share my testimony wrapped around a particular verse in the Bible, and I hope it's a blessing to you this morning. And the verse is John 1:14. It's a well-known scripture to most of us. It says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so what I want to speak to you about from my own experience this morning is God's power, the power of God's word to transform individuals and families. And like I say, I'm going to back up and kind of share my testimony with you a little bit this morning. So when I was 7 years old, my parents bought me a little King James Bible with a zipper on it. It wasn't very big, about the size of this one. I actually had it on my dresser, and I was gonna grab that Bible and bring it with me this morning, and I walked right off without it. So I left my object lesson at home. But it's tattered and torn by now. The zipper doesn't work anymore, but it's still totally intact. And my parents bought that Bible for me when I was 7 years old. In the presentation page on the Bible, it says, to Billy Courtney from Mama and Daddy on December 25th, 1962. And so you can do the math. And you'll know exactly how old I am. Well, you could probably imagine that for a seven-year-old boy, that was not the most exciting present under the tree that day. There was all kinds of presents, and I got to thinking about it. At the time, they were pretty important to me, but they're all forgotten now. The only thing I remember is the Bible, the little Bible now. So things kind of flipped on me. But I do remember putting that Bible in a dresser drawer, and it got covered up with socks and underwear. And that Bible didn't get pulled out of the drawer for another 11 years. We weren't a Christian family, even though my parents did respect the Bible and respected the Lord. Yet we weren't a Christian family. No one in my family was born again. And yet there was a spiritual interest. I think God was stirring even back in those years. I can remember one winter that my dad worked with a Mormon man at the Forest Service in Wallowa, Oregon, where he worked. And I can remember visiting the Mormon church a time or two that winter, but nothing came of it. And then occasionally we would get dressed up and we would visit the Christian church or the Methodist church. There was, I think, four or five churches in Wallowa, Oregon back in those years on Easter or special occasion, and yet nothing came of it. And then I remember one winter, my father read all the way through the Bible. And I remember him saying afterwards that he didn't understand what he read and really didn't mean too much to him, but hats off to him. He read through the whole thing. That's an accomplishment, you know? And God definitely tucked those things away and saved them in hearts, and they became useful in later years to the Lord. We lived on a property, an 18-acre property, up on a hill overlooking the town of Wallowa, Oregon. And I can remember most Sunday mornings, I would be working with my dad on some project. I remember one beautiful sunny Sunday morning, we were working on a riverboat that he was building. And I could hear the bells in at least three church steeples all across the town. And it was just kind of it was a good sound, you know. It I guess reminded me of things above, even though they weren't very important to me back in those years. I started drinking alcohol my freshman year in high school, largely for acceptance with my peers, and that went on all through my high school years. And then my senior year, my dad bought a remote sheep ranch in the Hell's Canyon of the Snake River. It was about 100 miles from our hometown. It was very remote. It was accessed only by about a 70-mile gravel road that then turned into a dirt road and went 8 miles down into the Hell's Canyon and dead-ended at the Cherry Creek Sheep Ranch. And so I went to work that year from my dad. I just turned 18, and I went to work for my dad on his ranch as a caretaker of the sheep, a sheep herder in North American terms. And suddenly I found myself isolated from everything that I'd ever known. My company was two sheepdogs and 1,500 head of sheep. And my home was an 8x10 tent with a wood stove in it, and that was about it. One winter, I went for about 6 months without seeing anyone except one individual that would bring over groceries to my camp on a saddle horse and a couple of pack mules. And that was quite an experience for an 18-year-old boy. The Lord used this experience to isolate me from my drinking buddies and to get my attention. It was definitely a wake-up call for me. Now, I want to tie all of this into the scripture that I read as we started here this morning. And I love the Message translation, the Message Bible. Eugene Peterson wrote the Message Bible, and some of the verses are pretty interesting in it. And this one is very interesting to me. The book of John, chapter 1 and verse 14. The way Eugene puts it in the Message translation, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. I like that. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Now, I want you to think about it. This is really an absolute wonder when you really think about it. And we celebrate it every Christmas. But the fact that God Almighty, El Shaddai, Elohim, the mighty God of all the universe, became a little baby on what we celebrate and remember on Christmas Day, and entered the human race through the womb of probably a teenage girl, it's an absolute wonder. And so all of a sudden, we're able to touch God, hear Him, walk with Him, rub shoulders with Him. For 33 years on the face of this earth, I think it's one of the most marvelous revelations, self-revelations of God that the world has ever seen, and probably the greatest miracle recorded in the Bible. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. And I love that translation because it brings it real close to home. And we're going to try to look into that a little bit deeper today. When Bruce Olson went to the Mattelon Indians in Colombia as a missionary, a remote tribe, and he needed to translate the Bible into their language, he found that they already had a legend in their tribal folklore that really helped him to translate the Bible into their language and to communicate the gospel to them. They had a legend that a Mattelon Indian was walking along a jungle trail and saw a community of ants struggling to build a house. And he had compassion on the ants, and he tried to bend down and give them a hand, but they all scurried away in fear because he was so big and so fearsome to them. And so he had the idea that he was going to turn himself into an ant, and he did that. And he helped them build their house. And according to Mattelon tradition, that's why Mattelon community lodges look like the ant houses that are built in that area. And it's a stretch, I know, but that's what the Lord did for us in coming to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ. He got right down on our level where we could touch Him, we could feel Him. So many didn't even recognize who He was. Even His closest companions didn't know who He was, really, until after the resurrection. Thomas, you know, He invited Thomas to reach out his hand and put it in the nail holes in his hand so that he could believe, you know, because he became a man and became just like us. The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. Well, at my sheep camp, the only link, the only communication that I had with the outside world was a little transistor radio. It was the world before cell phones, and there wouldn't have been any service down there anyway. And so I had a little transistor radio that was battery powered. And at the time, I really liked country music. And 50,000 watt KGA country music out of Spokane, Washington, came across loud and clear right into the Hell's Canyon where I was camped. And so I would listen to country music. And one evening, all of a sudden, before I had a chance to flip the channel, on the radio came a 15-minute radio broadcast. It was the Camp Meeting Hour by evangelist Jimmy Swaggart. That was back before his demise and his fall, even though he's still pastoring, and my hat's off to him for that, but that, we won't go into that part of the story. But he was preaching the gospel powerfully all across the nation and many nations of the world at that time. And his little radio broadcast, Camp Meeting Hour, came on. Now, I was kind of a country boy, okay? And his Louisiana accent and all of that, it just kind of caught my attention. Like I say, before I had an opportunity to flip the channel, that thing came on, that radio program came on. Then it was followed by the Haven of Rest. And after that, Through the Bible Radio with J. Vernon McGee. Does anybody remember any of those stations? I see some of you heads nodding out there this morning. And so, wow, what a smorgasbord. And, you know, the Lord hooked me on the gospel. Like I say, before I had a chance to flip the dial and find something different, he came in the back door of my life, of my tent, and he got me hooked on the gospel. All of a sudden, my interest in God's word was over the top. And I asked my dad to bring over that little Bible that my folks had bought on my seventh Christmas. And so my dad, next time he came over with groceries, he had that little Bible in the saddlebags on his on the horse he was riding. And I began to devour the Word of God. It was all I could think about night and day. And looking back on it, I didn't immediately give my life to Christ. But over the next several years, the Word just kept getting deeper and deeper into my heart. And finally, one night, way up on a deserted mountaintop in the Wallowa Mountains in our summer sheep range, I knelt down on a ridgetop outside of my tent, and I gave my life, lock, stock, and barrel, to Jesus. And in that same moment, I don't know how it happened, but in that same moment, I knew I was called to preach. I knew I was called to be a pastor. And that was a foreign thought to this country boy. And that's the very reason that I'm here speaking to you this morning. I didn't realize what was happening at the time, but looking back on it, I can see it clearly now. The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. So Jimmy Swaggart gave his life to Christ when he was a young boy. He knew he was called to preach, and he began to study for the ministry. I remember one of the stories he shared on the radio that got my attention. He was working as a carpenter's helper, working his way through his studies for ministry. He said he was working up in a dark attic, and he lost a hammer in the dark. And he said he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord immediately led him in the dark to where the hammer was, and he recovered his hammer. Well, that may sound like just a simple story, but for me, back in those years, that rocked me. It got my attention. Really? God cares about hammers? Paychecks, work, things like that? I thought to myself, you know, I wouldn't mind knowing a God like that. And so what happened was that the Word became flesh in the person of Jimmy Swaggart. Before his very disheartening fall into pornography, Jimmy had placed his gospel radio station, his program, the Camp Meeting Hour, on over 600 stations throughout the United States. And one of them was KGA, Spokane. The powerful, life-changing gospel message came clearly across the airwaves into my sheep camp, through my transistor radio, and into my heart. The Word became flesh in the person of Jimmy Swaggart and moved into the neighborhood. Well, the next thing, wonder of wonders, is that the Word began to become flesh in me. Jesus Christ came into my heart and began to settle down in my life. I began to grow in the Lord. And the Lord began to take form and shape within me. I was born again, transformed into a new person. A lot of work had to be done in me, but nevertheless, that initial transformation, that born-again experience, was incredible. And I remember I was way up in the Wallowa Mountains when it happened, and I remember one day was this way, the next day it was totally different. I can't explain it to you. The sun was brighter, the sky was bluer, the weight was gone off my shoulders. I was born again. And my friends that knew me before, they they didn't know what happened to their old drinking buddy. But old things had passed away and everything had become new. Several years passed. The Hell's Canyon Wilderness was placed into the Wild River Act. And the government bought up all of the privately owned ranches in the Hell's Canyon. And my folks sold the ranch and we all moved back into town. God's purposes, looking back on it, for the ranch and for that season was over for us. It was a short 4 years. But the seed of the gospel had been planted in my heart. And so I began to live my faith in the midst of my family. I had no place for Christians or church or anything like that before. Now I couldn't get enough. Every time the doors were open, I was there. My brother was 13 years old at the time. He was right on my heels. Everywhere Big Brother went, he was with me. You know, he walked away from all of that for probably 30 years. He lives right over here in Portland. And about 10 years ago, when my mother passed away, he gave his life to Jesus. Tell you what, that word gets in your heart and it stays there just like seed. So I began to witness to all my family, friends, neighbors. Some of them thought I went off the deep end. Others gave their life to Christ and became a part of that little church there in Wallowa, Oregon. My mother had been raised in the Episcopalian church, but had never had a born-again experience. And one day, about a year and a half after we sold the ranch, I learned that my mother had become very judgmental of me. And so I questioned her about it, and I found out that she felt like I was arrogant and had a holier-than-thou attitude because of my personal conviction that I could know that I was saved. She thought it was presumptuous for me, or anyone for that matter, to presume that we could know that everything is right with God and that we have eternal life. And so I dug out that little Bible again. And I unzipped it, the one she gave me about 13, 14 years earlier. And I had her turn to 1 John 5:13, and I had her read it. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." And that morning, the Word became flesh in my mother. She gave her life to Christ and she was born again. And she became the sweetest, kindest, most generous, loving Christian woman that you could ever be around until the day of her death. The Word became flesh in my mother. Jesus took up residence in her heart. As you can tell, I think this is a marvelous thought, folks, that the Word becomes flesh. You know, it sounds kind of King Jamesy until you consider the fact that he truly did move into the neighborhood. Amen?
Amen.
He moved right into the neighborhood. And, you know, this gospel has been being carried from person to person, from father to son, from mother to daughter, right on down through the ages. You know what I'm saying? Amude and I, we go to the Amazon basin. When we go, we take the precious word of God into places where it hasn't been heard before. One day we had a gospel crusade in the Central Plaza in Contamana, Peru, and 25 people gave their life to Christ that night. The word of God moved into the neighborhood. Now the word is in their heart, going into their families, their friends, and it's spreading. We had a word of prophecy when we first started Church on the Rock here, and it ended up being, I have it written down to this day, it ended up being a very prophetic, accurate word. It said that it was going to be like a virus spreading from person to person, from house to house, and so it has happened, and so it has been. And I wanted to bring this message to you because it's such a tremendous message of hope and purpose to us as believers, because the Word becomes flesh in us. And then it may seem like small ways that you're witnessing to people, but you're taking the Word, and you're taking it, and you're taking it into other people's lives. And it's powerful. The Word of God is powerful. I don't know about you, but I'm putting all my eggs in one basket. The Word of God. God's Word. So, no one in our family realized or understood the power of God's Word. When my mother visited a Christian bookstore as a very young woman, a very young mother, she had one little like a one-year-old baby at that point. She visited the Christian bookstore in Enterprise, Oregon, looking for a Christmas gift for her son. And she picked out that little Bible, and she had no idea the power that she was holding in her hand as she wrapped that gift up and put it under the tree. She had no idea what it would mean in her own life so many years later. And then that Bible was placed in the dresser drawer until God's timing was perfect. And it came forth. And it did what God's Word does. She had no idea that it would result in the conversion of her son. And then that her son would lead her to Christ through the words on its pages many years later. And I don't have time. I've got wonderful stories to tell about the rest of my siblings, how they all came to Christ, miracles. My sister has been a missionary all over the world with her husband since that time. My brother-in-law, she actually went back to Wyoming and went to work in a bar as a bartender back there, just right out of high school. And married a oil field worker, and he was a rough and tough character, RD. And I thought in my heart, man, if God could save this character, he can save anybody. And it didn't happen. It didn't happen. They'd come and visit the family. He was just kind of a hard guy, you know, hard drinking kind of a guy. And they came and visited, and then they went back home. And I didn't know it, but my mother had sent a little cassette tape back home with them. And believe me, back in those years, right after I got saved, I didn't feel like I could preach my way out of a wet paper bag. I'm not sure if I still can. But he took that little cassette home with him, And he was laying on the couch one night listening to that cassette of my message, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, God is a God of miracles, and this word is powerful. Amen? I don't care who's preaching it, this word is powerful. And so I hope I'm encouraging you this morning, because I'm looking out at a lot of people here with Jesus Christ in your hearts. The word has become flesh and moved into your neighborhood, and now you're carrying the seed of the gospel. And I think that that's probably about all I need to say this morning, folks. I'm going to invite Wade to come on back up. I appreciate the opportunity to share my story and to brag on God's word here at Freedom Church a little this morning. God bless you.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Bill. Really appreciate that. I'm glad that it works out this way. I'm trying to plug in here. I'm glad that it works out this way. You talked about your mother not having that assurance of salvation. So we're gonna close out today with a song called Blessed Assurance. Give me a sec to grab this guitar, put all my ears in. This is a little different. Let's go ahead and stand today as we close out, and let's sing about that great assurance that we have of salvation in Jesus. All right, I think I'm ready now. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. Thank you, Jesus. We have such a great assurance of our salvation that we can know that we have life eternally, that we have life abundantly because of you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for all the ways that you've worked in our lives to draw us to you, whether it's in a sheep ranch in the middle of nowhere, or if it's in a bedroom, or if it's with even here in this place this morning, Lord, if there are those who need you. Let's face it, we all need you. Whether we've given our lives to you and we know you, we still need you. We realize how much we need you, Lord. Or if we've never given our lives to you, Lord, we need you. And so we pray for those who are without you, that they would be drawn to you, Lord, through this message or through anyone's message, Lord. That they would come to you, Lord, through your word, through somebody witnessing to them, however it has to happen, Lord. Pray that you would bring people to you. And so we thank you, Lord. We praise you. Thank you for today that we can gather here, that we can glorify you, that we can worship you, and that we can just be yours. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen. Thank you so much for coming today. Have a great week in the Lord, and we will see you hopefully in 7 days, maybe before.